Philippians chapter 2, verses 1, and it's going to go all the way to verse number 8. I love this translation, guys. You've just got to get this. I hope your spirit is just open to what Paul is speaking to this particular congregation. And I believe the word that he's speaking to them is also being spoken to us. How many believe that? How many believe the word of God is God's word breathed? Amen. That it's alive. How many believe the word is a living word? Amen. It's not just letter, but it's spirit as well. And it produces and grows life within us. If you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if His love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet-talk your way to the top. Amen. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Amen. Amen. Wow, isn't this powerful? Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of Himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of Himself that He had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, He set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave. Became human. Having become human, He stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, He lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. Can everybody just say, wow? Isn't that an amazing passage of Scripture? I'm going to talk today about let this mind be in you. Two questions I've put here just for you to ponder, to really evaluate. How many have found that in your walk with the Lord, it's a lot of just evaluating yourselves? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Where you just have to really look introspectively. You have to look within yourself and, you know, really examine. And the Bible said, let a man examine himself. How many do self-examination?
Take inventory.
I like that. You just consider. You know, you just really consider yourself and where you are with God. Is anybody grateful you're not where you used to be?
Yes.
Come on, but does anybody see there's still a few more journeys ahead of you? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? How many would agree with me we've not yet arrived? Come on. That we're still a process at work. Come on, church. That we're still needing a little help from the Holy Spirit. Amen. In what ways do you feel God is making changes in how you treat people? Huh? What ways do you feel like God is still working on you a little bit? Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, you've got a little work yet God needs to do. You know, I've never seen Dale respond quick, but today he looked right at Shirley and said, you've got a lot of work to do. Wow, I love that. Thank you, Dale. That was wonderful. I appreciate that. Have you surrendered your thought life and your service to the Lord? Does anybody battle with how you think? Come on, does anybody still get some ugly thoughts about people? Huh? Come on, do you get riled when somebody pulls around you? We were driving to a funeral yesterday. And I'm doing the speed limit, and I've got these cars that are just getting right on me. There is no place for me to go, and they are right on me. Oh, I wanted to get an attitude. I don't know about me, none of you guys ever feel that way, but I wanted an attitude. Because they were just, I told Pat, they're trying to intimidate me in their driving. I realize, oh, Holy Spirit, how I need you. Oh, Holy Spirit, how I need you. Oh, I didn't do anything wrong. But oh, how I wanted to get on my horn, flash my lights. I don't communicate the way some people do, but oh, how you guys got that, right? You know what I was talking about, right? Everybody selfless and obedience. Come on, everybody say selfless and obedient. If I had one desire, if I could sum up what my heart's desire for you and for me is, that we would key in on those understandings of being selfless and obedient. Come on, how many just hate selfishness? And how many would be honest, boy, when you see it in yourself, doesn't it just disgust you a little bit? When I recognize everything he did and everything that he is, and I see who I still am, not necessarily who I've been. I'm grateful for where I am. Come on, church. But there's still some stuff that I definitely need to get through and get past. Amen. How you think is so vitally important to your walk with God. Amen. Because if you believe right, you'll live right. Are you hearing me? Come on, for as you think, Solomon said, so are you. So as you think, I want you to watch a video that I have this morning.
Told you Jesus came to abolish religion? What if I told you voting Republican really wasn't his mission? What if I told you Republican doesn't automatically mean Christian, and just because you call some people blind doesn't automatically give you vision? I mean, if religion is so great, why has it started so many wars? Why does it build huge churches but fails to feed the poor? Tell single moms God doesn't love them if they've ever had a divorce, but in the Old Testament, God actually calls religious people whores. Religion might preach grace, but another thing they practice, tend to ridicule God's people, they did it to John the Baptist. They can't fix their problems, and so they just mask it, not realizing religion's like spraying perfume on a casket. See, the problem with religion is it never gets to the core. It's just behavior modification, like a long list of chores. Like, let's dress up the outside, make it look nice and neat. But it's funny, that's what they used to do to mummies while the corpse rots underneath. Now I ain't judging, I'm just saying, quit putting on a fake look. Because there's a problem if people only know that you're a Christian by your Facebook. I mean, in every other aspect of life, you know that logic's unworthy. It's like saying you play for the Lakers just because you bought a jersey. See, this was me too, but no one seemed to be onto me. Acting like a church kid while addicted to pornography. See, on Sunday I'd go to church, but Saturday getting faded, acting if I was simply created to just have sex and get wasted. See, I spent my whole life building this facade of neatness, but now that I know Jesus, I boast in my weakness. Because if grace is water, then the church should be an ocean. It's not a museum for good people, it's a hospital for the broken. Which means I don't have to hide my failure, I don't have to hide my sin. Because it doesn't depend on me, it depends on him. See, because when I was God's enemy, and certainly not a fan, he looked down and said, I want that man. Which is why Jesus hated religion, and for it he called them fools. Don't you see, so much better than just following some rules? Now let me clarify. I love the church, I love the Bible, and yes, I believe in sin. But if Jesus came to your church, would they actually let him in? See, remember, he was called a glutton and a drunkard by religious men. But the Son of God never supports self-righteousness, not now, not then. Now back to the point, one thing is vital to mention, how Jesus and religion are on opposite spectrums. See, one's the work of God, but one's a man-made invention. See, one is the cure, but the other's the infection. See, because religion says do, Jesus says done. Religion says slave, Jesus says son. Religion puts you in bondage, while Jesus sets you free. Religion makes you blind, but Jesus makes you see. And that's why religion and Jesus are two different clans. Religion is man searching for God. Christianity is God searching for man. Which is why salvation is freely mine, and forgiveness is my own. not based on my merits, but Jesus' obedience alone. Because he took the crown of thorns and the blood dripped down his face. He took what we all deserve. I guess that's why you call it grace. And while being murdered, he yelled, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Because when he was dangling on that cross, he was thinking of you. And he absorbed all your sin and he buried it in the tomb, which is why I'm kneeling at the cross saying, "Come on, there's room." So for religion, no, I hate it. In fact, I literally resent it. Because when Jesus said, "It is finished," I believe he meant it.
Come on, is that good? I think you ought to stand up. I think that's a good place to just thank the Lord. Don't you love that? Come on, church, don't you love that? Amen. Amen. That's where it's at. You may be seated. That's where it's at. Come on, I'm not saved by what I do. Glory to God. I'm saved because of what he did. Amen. I love this passage, Romans chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. This was what was at the end of this video. Workers' salaries aren't credited to them on the basis of employer's grace, but rather on the basis of what they deserve. How many realize that's the difference of favor versus wages? If you go on your job and you're paid $10 an hour to work, it is not presumptuous on your part at the end of whatever hours you've worked when it's payday to expect to get paid for the hours that you worked. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
But you and I don't expect what we deserved based upon earnings. We only by grace receive what you and I do not deserve. How many realize that what we deserve is death and separation? But because of his favor, we receive the goodness of God. Come on, church, say amen.
Amen.
By faith, it is credited as righteousness to those who don't work, but they have faith in God, who makes, hallelujah, the ungodly unrighteous. Tell your neighbor, say, "I needed grace."
Amen.
See, I was ungodly. I needed his godliness. See, I was unrighteous. Let this mind be in you. Look at your neighbor and say, "We got to change how we think. We've got to let this mind be in us, which was in Christ Jesus." We've got to think differently. How many have found out that's really all about repentance?
Yes.
Come on, you've got to repent. You know, you've got to change your mind. You've got to change your mind, because until you change your mind, if you think like you've always thought, you'll live like you've always lived. The height of insanity is what, church? Doing the same thing and expecting a different result. If you do it the same way, you're going to have the same results. If you think like you've always thought, look at your neighbor and say, "You got to change your mind."
Change.
Got to change your mind. This message is about letting his mind be in you. Let the way he thinks be how you think. I love this passage. Romans chapter 1, 12, 1 and 2. This, by the way, is a very familiar passage. I'm reading it again out of the message this morning. What a powerful rendition, if you will, a version of what the Apostle Paul is saying. Interesting, he's saying it to Romans. How many realize that Romans had a difficult time receiving the grace of God? They had been brought up in a time of the religious rules of order. Listen, can I tell you? Sometimes it's harder getting the people who have been in the teaching for so long to receive the truth of the teaching. Are you hearing me? You'll bring in somebody who's never known anything about God, and when they hear the message of Jesus Christ, I'm talking about the gospel message of Jesus Christ, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. When you get the message that he came to set the captives free, The Bible said he came to seek and save who? Those who were lost. Anybody here was lost? I needed a Savior. I needed a Savior. Look what he says. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday ordinary life. You're sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for God. How many have found yourself, and I don't need a show of hands, just want you to think about this. If you found yourself resisting what God's trying to do in you, find yourself, you know that God is molding and shaping. Isaiah said, who is the potter and who is the clay? Huh? All of a sudden, God's trying to mold you and shape. Wait a minute, God, I don't like that you're doing with me. And we resist. And yet, we're the clay. And he is the potter. Ephesians 2 and 10 says that we are his workmanship. We're the handiwork of God. What we ought to be saying is, Lord, mold me. God, shape me. God, work in me. God, do in me. Whatever you want. How many know that you don't yet see all that God's doing in you and for you and through you? And you don't yet. How many know you haven't seen what God's, the finished product of what God has in mind for you? How many would also understand with me that you can actually slow down the process by being rebellious? This is not Burger King, ladies and gentlemen. It's not have your own way. Come on, you've gotta be willing to let God do in you what he plans. Either say amen or say oh me. Look what it says in the second verse. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed, praise the Lord, from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Lest the culture around you always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you, develops well maturity in you. How many would just have to agree with me that God's plan for you is that you grow up? Yes. That's not an insult, church. That's not an insult. That's God's plan. That's his will. That's his desire. Amen. God wants you to have the concept, the understanding of what it means to be utterly and completely surrendered. Yes. To be fully yielded without compromise. Come on, church. Yes. That we would say, Lord, have thine own way. And that we would withhold nothing from God. In essence, what we would be saying to the Lord, and it should be something that we say repeatedly and often, all that I am, God, and all that I have, Lord, is yours. Use me at your discretion. I am withholding nothing from you. Amen. Jesus says in Revelation 3 and 20, you know the scripture, I quote it often, behold, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. If any man will open the door, I will come in. I will reside. I will sup with you. I will have fellowship with you. Amen. You know what oftentimes we do is we invite him only so far into our life. Only so far. You know, only the rooms that we're willing to allow to be seen. You know what I'm talking about. There's always those rooms that you don't want shown, right? There's always those rooms that you let them into the front room and the kitchen area and of course the restroom because of necessity, but there's the back rooms. There's the rooms that door is closed for a reason. Somebody says, what's behind that door? None of your business. That room is not open for your viewing. Bed's not made. Shoes aren't put away. There's some clothing scattered around. I don't want you to see that room. How many know that sometimes we do that with the Lord in our lives? God, I'll let you into this part of my life. And yes, but don't meddle with my relationships with people. Amen. Don't meddle with how I'm supposed to love and how I'm supposed to bless those who have cursed me. How I'm supposed to love even my enemies. Don't get into that area of my life. That is off limits to you, God. And listen, if we could hear the voice of the Lord, this is what he would say. Get your little knapsack, head around that mountain for another journey. Because you're not ready. You're not ready. Come on. What about your faithfulness? Now, God, don't be messing with my faithfulness. I go to church Easter and Christmas. Don't be messing with that. God and I have a perfectly good relationship going on. Come on. Come on. It's pretty sad when all of a sudden we can adjust in the environment around us and not be bothered at all. Is anybody bothered by the way the world is going today? Is anybody troubled by the decisions that are made that are just pushed onto the world at no thought? I'm not. I know that the church is still going to prevail. I still believe, even though my wife and I talked a lot about it, the world's got to get dark so that we can shine brighter. How many are willing to shine bright? Amen. How many realize that's God's plan for us? In fact, I must tell you, If it is necessary for judgment to fall because of the stupidity of man, so be it. Yes. Come on. And if that judgment affects the church, so be it. Because I still want people saved. How many want people saved? Yes. Come on. Yes. I love that video that we show. This is not a place, a museum for those who would seem right. But it's a hospital for those that are wrong, those that are sick. Jesus said, I didn't come to them that appear well, but to them that know. How many knew you needed God? Yes. See, I knew I needed God. Can I tell you today, I know that I need God. How many know you need God? I know that I need him. I am incapable of being in right standing without grace. I'm incapable. Let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you. Oh God, help us. Help us to be selfless. Don't you want that to be your heartbeat? Amen. You know, I've often thought when I consider you, the body of believers. And even though I'm a part of the body of believers, and please understand what I'm about to say, with this, I would have to exclude Steve and Annie and me in this, my wife and I. We'd have to exclude us because we're benefited in kingdom work. This is how we derive our support. Are you with me? We benefit from serving the Lord in the way that we do. You understand this is full time for us. But you laity who serve the Lord from your heart, you understand, I've often thought what a wonderful thing that it is. I put on Facebook when I checked in at PBFC this morning, Rodney Nesmith writes and says, well, you have to be there, you're the pastor. Yeah. You know, tell people, say, you didn't go to church Sunday? Yeah, I think I'll make it. Yeah, you know, I mean, it's not like I'm going to go, okay, I think today I'll stay home. Come on, now you guys got to know, I love being in the house of the Lord. Don't you love being in God's house? Amen. And I got to tell you, this is not a chore doing what I do. It is not. In fact, I've told my wife, It almost appears that God is allowing me to rest more in the call of God than I've ever rested before. I almost feel like the Lord is just saying, you know, it is okay to not work as hard as you've worked in the past. That God's just got this. How many know what I'm talking about? Even in the preparation, can I tell you? Preparation gets easier and easier. I know a preacher say, what are you going to preach on? And that seems so difficult. And it just seems to me like, man, just God just opens up the heavens and just drops his thoughts right into my thoughts. And I just receive from him. And then I just give it out to you guys. And you guys just act like you enjoy it. And I love it. I just love it. Come on, I want to be selfless. How many want to be selfless? Look at your neighbor and say, it's not about you. Come on, how many have found that out? Well, I want church to be for me. I want, why can't they sing the song I want? I prayed this morning, the Holy Spirit told me they were going to sing and they missed God. Everybody say selfless.
Selfless.
I know that we are credited the righteousness of God. We read that in Romans 4, didn't we? We know that we've been what we call, the word is imputed. It's a deposit that we didn't earn. Our spiritual bank account has been made full, not based upon your efforts, but based upon his single act of obedience. He was selfless in life and he was selfless in death. Amen. And through his selflessness, he provided a way in for all of us to be set perfectly right. Showed you a video a few weeks ago on Flawless. How many were here to see that video? And we posted it. So wonderful. Man, it's great. Flawless. He made us flawless because of the cross of Calvary. Amen. And I know the enemy would come and say, wait a minute, there's so much more. And please understand, I know that we are still a work in progress, but I'm not being saved. Did you guys catch that? I'm not in a process of being saved. I have been saved. I'm in a process of being sanctified. Come on, there's a difference. God's still doing a work in me, but he's not doing a work to save me. He already did that work. I received salvation. Amen. I'm not, come on, I know we sang the song, I'm getting ready, but listen, I am ready. Amen. Amen. I'm ready. If Jesus was to call me home today, I know where I'm going. How many have an assurance this morning? How many have an assurance this morning? You know that you know that you know. You know, I don't need to tell you you're saved. You need to know that you're saved. The Bible said we can know that we've passed from death unto life. Amen. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. How many have life this morning?
Yes.
Amen. How many are glad that the blood of Christ has cleansed you from sin?
Yes.
Come on, let this mind be in you. How many realize we got to think differently?
Yes.
The Bible says, I will remember your sins no more. Praise God. Praise God. I've lived, come on, as a young believer, I lived in a fear that one day everything I've ever done and everything I've ever thought would be shown before me, and I would see everything that offended Calvary, that offended Jesus. And I had in my mind's eye that not only would I visibly see everything, but all of my friends, PBFC, would be standing behind me. Really? Well, let me tell you something. If that's what happens, let me tell you, when your past is shown, I'll be there too. But I know different today. Glory to God. If God doesn't remember my sins, then how is he going to present them to me? Praise praise the Lord. My Bible says he's taken all of my sin and he has removed them from me and cast them as far as the east is from the west, and they will never be accounted to me again. Let this mind be in you. Think differently. Amen. How many have got some things in your life you need to believe God for? How many are believing God for some things that are bigger than you? Come on, let this mind be in you. We serve a God of impossibilities. My God can do anything. Anything. With men, this may seem impossible. With God, all things are possible. Mark chapter 9. How many are believing God for some big stuff? Amen. Let this mind be in you. Man, get your mind thinking about where God wants to take you and what God is doing in you and what God's plans are for you, and that God's will for your life is to give you more than you have. Amen. More peace. More joy. More fulfillment. Come on, how many want to be happy in this walk? Amen. I've told you, if you're miserable serving God, you're doing it wrong. Come on, you've come too late to tell me that God doesn't know how to take care of us and make us everything he wants us to be. Stand with me. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, it's not about you. Be selfless. Be obedient. Amen. Have you surrendered your life? Have you surrendered your thought life to God? Come on, do you ever think about that?
Sorry, I don't know how.
Do you want me to... I'm glad she stopped that. You don't want me to move. Let me tell you, I'm stiff. I might need Donald to help me out on that one.
I don't know.
We may not have it. Doesn't she look just good up there? That's all right. Amen. Father, we thank you for this house. We thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for the relevance of your word, God.